The House Judiciary Committee in Annapolis is going to be holding hearings on this. And I want to speak about it with someone who sits on that committee, Maryland State Delegate Jill P. Carter. How you doing, Delegate?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me. It's been a while.
So it has been a while, but this I'm going to tie a little DNA stuff in at the end here to this. But Delegate, this for many people like myself follows a pattern. I talked about back in 2009 when there were indictments from the U.S. Attorney's Office on corrections officers in Hagerstown. There was a discussion at the same institution. We're talking about now BCDC with the Bloods at that time, not necessarily the BGF. I mean, where have everybody been for 4 years?
Well, you know, I think that's a good question. But I think that I agree with you. I agree with, believe it or not, this could be the first time ever I agree with the Baltimore Sun, which I think, you know, I think to me, honestly, the Sun editorial really, really is confusing, because in all of the time, the reason that Governor O'Malley is able to put the spin on it that he does or attempts to, and the reason that he has never been held accountable for any of the real problems prior to this and on other issues is because of the complicity of the Baltimore Sun in large part. That has never critiqued him in any way for failed policies or failures of the city or the state.
And you could include the Washington Post to a large extent as well, Delegate.
You could, but, you know, and I have this, actually, I have this debate with my colleagues in Annapolis all the time, the ones that are more in the Prince George's and Montgomery suburbs that are more impacted by the Post stories, but that's probably true. But I've just always felt, and many people know it's true, that the Baltimore Sun has been nothing but a campaign newsletter for the governor.
We have talked, Delegate, for years about the fact that particularly when this governor was mayor, the whole issue of public safety was more about PR than actually anything else. When we look at the massive arrests that you and others were successful in championing and taking to court and having victories won for those people who were unjustly arrested, to now this whole issue of what's happening in our corrections institutions. I mean, instead of solving the real problems associated either with crime or infiltration, you know, into prisons, we rather host press conferences and talk about how great we are.
Absolutely, and that's, and you know, it reminds some of us of when Governor O'Malley first took office, and you know, not only has he been promoted or touted as a homeland security expert and a security expert and a state stat, you know, state statistician, really, you know, using state stat to measure everything, which is supposed to make ensure accountability and responsibility. But in addition to all of that, when he first took office, and Officer McGuinn was killed in the correctional facility, he made it clear that this kind of thing and corruption and lack of accountability and lack of security would never take place in the state institutions again.
Delegate, I don't know about you, but the moment yesterday when I saw the governor at the Bank of Microphones talking about how wonderful Secretary, look, I've had Secretary Maynard on my show. This is not personal at all. I think he seems to be a pretty decent guy. But when the corrections secretary is called to have been doing a fantastic job, it took me back to George W. Bush in New Orleans talking about, Brownie, you're doing a hell of a job. How could he be saying he's a wonderful corrections secretary with this going on for at least 4 years?
I don't know. But you know, I think that he's got it. Here's the thing. I believe that, and it's not personal for me either, but the governor must accept responsibility for this failure of the Department of Public Safety to secure the prisons, not just the Baltimore City Detention Center, because that's not the only place where there's problems, even though there
Hagerstown. Hagerstown! It was 2009, it was Hagerstown!
Exactly. And so I think that, you know, it's just, you know, well, you know, actually, though, and you know, C4, you know better than anyone, that's actually a political tactic that's always used. When elected officials or high-ranking officials are, you know, called into question or there's trouble brewing, the political establishment always puts a positive spin on it until the point where they can know more, at which point they completely distance themselves.
Yeah, but where are the voices like yours? You have been consistent, Delegate. I saw you in the news when this first broke. Delegate Kurt Anderson came out. But where are the voices talking and asking, not just for, you know, folks' resignations? Look, at the end of the day, Delegate, what we're looking at not is just sex in prisons and seafood and gray goose going into prisons, but potentially witnesses being intimidated from these very people in prison and potentially people being killed from orders being sent out from these prisons.
Exactly. Well, that's, you know, to me, the most disturbing thing is, frankly, to focus solely on the lower ranking officers that were probably involved in, you know, the the scandal that has given rise to the indictments, but the real issue is going up the food chain to the supervisors and the persons that are supposed to be watching and overseeing, and frankly, making sure that the inmates are safe, that the correctional officers are safe, and that, you know, ideally the public is safe. And the big failing is not the people that the criminals or the inmates who have criminal backgrounds for the most part, so we expect them to engage in criminality, or the lower level correctional officers. The real failing is at the top. And ultimately, the top has got to be Secretary Maynard and then the governor.
Delegate, you attempted to fight the collection of DNA at the point of arrest as opposed to at the point of conviction. That's now in front of the Supreme Court. Those of us like me who also, you know, had a problem with that at the time, look at this system and see this type of corruption. And you have to wonder, if they are able to keep this DNA, what are they going to do with that, considering the lack of oversight we see at the prison level?
Oh, my goodness, that is something that I thought of, because, you know, Department of Public Safety and Corrections does oversee. It handles the state repository, which is real all information, including the DNA. And so, you know, if there's this kind of problem here in the prisons that we know about, we do have to be concerned about oversight in other areas. So it's a big deal. But, you know, on that subject, I cannot talk about that subject without saying it is amazing to me that the entire political establishment, the entire legislative body, the General Assembly, completely ignores our Court of Appeals in a mad push to not just lift the sunset off of the DNA collection bill, but to repeal the DNA collection bill this past session. So we'll see what happens with that. I'm still keeping my fingers crossed on the Supreme Court.
Delegate, I want to speak with you after the May 8th hearings, and I'm telling you, you see Oz on HBO, Delegate? Have you ever seen Oz? On HBO. This is Oz come to Maryland.
Yeah, this is Oz. Well, briefly, May 8th, you know, I've got to give the props to Chairman Valerio for calling this hearing. And I will say that there are rumblings of a potential effort to have us cancel the hearing. But I'm hoping that we'll stand strong and insist that we are able to continue to do it. Something about a conflict between legislative hearings and the federal investigation.
Delegate, we're up against time. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.